Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Another Saturday morning, exciting. Good things are happening around the world, especially here on my switchboard. I'm hoping that everybody's having a great Saturday morning. I'm Dr. Bessie Fletcher, and I'm your host on Blog Talk Radio. I get such a kick. This thing is beginning to be fun and exciting for me. Every Saturday morning is just an exciting venture. You just never know what's going to pop up, that you have to really just look at it and walk by faith and make sure that all of the elements come together. And thank God for that. It takes faith to do everything and anything that we do in this life. But before we get started and on another journey and down another road, I want to give thanks to God and thank God for giving us the gift of motherhood. That's why we're here. This is the Mother and Daughter Bonding Roundtable talk show. God has given us an opportunity to come together, to share our hearts, to help heal the broken hearts among our mothers and daughters, and to lift them up with love so that they can grow or raise up the type of woman that God has intended for us as mothers to rear, and that is a godly woman, a godly young lady. So, God, we just thank you for giving us the gift to produce a daughter or a son. And that we ask that you give us the guidance, the wisdom, the strength, and the patience, faith, and the love so that we can stay on track, stay in on our path, and then also have the strength to help our children stay on their path as we pray and ask for guidance for you to help us help them as we travel back on our journey back to you. And we'll be careful to give you the glory and the praise. This is not anything that we are doing. It's all because of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I'm your host for the new people that are coming on. I'm Dr. Bessie Fletcher, and it's always a pleasure and an honor to be able to come and sit at the mic and talk to mothers and daughters around the world. The possibilities are so great, you know, with the internet, you just never know who you're talking to, how many people you're talking to, and how many people you're reaching. It just amazes me as you send out information and it just spreads. And most people that are familiar with the social networks understand that it's just we are all now one big happy family through the internet. You know, a lot of times people say the internet is not a good thing, but that's not all true. There's always good and bad in the midst of everything. We just have to look for the good. So we're here on Blog Talk Radio. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you have an opportunity to participate in the Mother and Daughter Roundtable. Go get your favorite drink, sit up at the table, get your pen and paper, because I'm sure God is going to speak to you. You're going to get some thoughts, some revelations that will may answer some questions that you have. And if you feel like it, you can dial 347-539-5078 and to listen via your telephone. And then if you want to join the conversation, you have something that you want to add, you know, you'll know it because the Lord will tug on your heart. Just click 1 to join the conversation. The worst thing that I think you can do as a mother and daughter participating in the radio program, if you're listening and all of a sudden you get this nudge in your heart and it's telling you to call, it's telling you to say something, you know, it says you need to share this with them, and you don't do it, think about it. You walk around for the majority of the day thinking about I was asked to do something and I didn't do it. Now, eventually you may be able to push it down, and walk away from it. But the reason that you got that nudged on your heart was because God was speaking to you. You had something that would address the issue of a mother and daughter somewhere. If it's in Japan, it could be anywhere. You're thinking, what I have to say is not important. But God knows your heart. He knows that there's someone else that matches that thought. And he's trying to put these thoughts together. He's bringing your thoughts and their thoughts. And even though that's why he says not to be of your own thought and your own mind, not, you know, don't judge it by what you think, because, you know, we're not smart enough to know the whole totality of the picture of what's going on. We only know our little part, and our part is a part of a big part. So if God touches your heart and he says to you, share that thought, you better believe that someone out there is going to be in place to listen. But when you fail to do that, then you have just denied someone else a blessing. And I think, you know, the Lord has placed that on my heart, because I think there's, you know, people sometimes think, I'm not an important person, or I'm not this and I'm not that, and so, you know, nobody wants to hear what I have to say, so I'll just listen and I'll keep my mouth closed because nobody really wants to hear what I have to say. And that is so far from the truth. You know, I could say that. I could say that nobody wants to hear what I have to say. If I did that, we wouldn't even have this program, which, you know, to me, I'm doing it out of love and because God nudged my heart, and I'm getting responses that people are being blessed. So my thoughts are being connected to other people's thoughts, and that helps them, and it helps me. So just a little thought that came on my mind this morning. We're in a thought process, if you can notice. And our topic today is the effects of pride in a mother and daughter relationship. The effects of pride in a mother and daughter relationship. You know, I get on Saturday morning and we have people say they want to sponsor with us. If you want to be a sponsor, I'm just going to say this quickly because I don't want to act as if there is a need or anything to that nature. I've just decided that I'm just going to say it quickly. If you would like to be a partner, you can go to our website at www.mdbn.org, click on donation, and you can make a donation, and we truly would appreciate that. Topic again, the effects of pride in a mother and daughter relationship. For the people that's coming on, I'm Dr. Bessie Fletcher. I'm your host, and I'm excited. I'm going to tell you a couple things that's coming up. The International Mother and Daughter Bonding Faith Crusade, September the 10th. God has really been working with me the last maybe 10 days directly, just strictly teaching, preparing, getting ready the thought for the crusade. It is absolutely growing. And, you know, we had a great meeting last night with the youth group, and it was just wonderful. When we had that meeting, it just brought together a sense of place in my heart. I can't tell you, it added something. And I could feel God, you know, moving that, you know, okay, we are headed in the right direction. Thank you, God. You know, it's good to know that you're headed in the right direction. Sometimes we feel like we're off course. We don't know if we're doing it right, wrong, or indifferent, you know. So we always need a little encouragement. The other thing I want to tell you about is the Mother and Daughter Crusade. Cruise. Oh, my goodness. I just talked about the crusade. The cruise. The cruise is on November the 12th and 13th. I'm getting my dates. I got the cruise one place. Let me make sure I get this right for you. The 13th is when we go on the cruise, but the 12th is when we have the mother and daughter Cinderella Ball. We'll have it on that Saturday night, November 12th, and then on the 13th we'll leave going to Jamaica for 6 days on a cruise, a mother and daughter cruise. So we're just going to have a fun time, starting that Friday when people start coming in, and that Saturday, and we're going to take it on to the next Saturday. So it's about 10 days of mother and daughter joy. And I invite you to call your friends. When we say mother and daughter, I want to make it clear that most people think that it's got to be, well, I can't go on the mother and daughter cruise because I don't have my daughter with me, or I don't have a daughter, I have sons. Well, you are a daughter. And when your friends ask you, and when you hear women say that, always remind them, you are a woman, and every woman is a daughter. So every daughter has a mother and daughter story. So the topics that we will be discussing in our workshop, you can relate. You will have something to share from your mother and daughter relationship. And that's what we're looking at, and that's what we're talking about when we say mother and daughter cruise, mother and daughter, any mother and daughter event. If you're a woman, just remember, you are a daughter. I want to thank the Ambassador Daughter Group. I want to thank the Crusade Group that is working diligently to make these things come to pass. I also want to thank Mrs. Virginia Palmer, who is our sponsor for this month, and she was so diligent and wanted to be such a strong sponsor, and I appreciate that. I mean, she says, let me just do 2 months, and I'm like, wow. So she has sponsored for 2 months, and Mrs. Palmer doesn't have a daughter, but she is a daughter, and she recognized that, and she's contributing because she knows what it's like to have a relationship with her mother. And with her mother being gone now, she also knows what it's like to not have a mother. So she has contributed to your growth. She's giving love through her contributions to mothers and daughters around the world. So thank you, Ms. Virginia Palmer. Now, we are going to talk about our topic for this week. The topic, again, is the effect of pride in the mother and daughter relationship. You know, last week we talked about developmental stages of the mother and daughter relationship, and it just seems like the Lord has got me on this flow to kind of keep it moving in a direction here. So he asked me just to remind you of this, and it says the developmental stages of the mother and daughter relationship. The developmental stages are the process that are experienced within the mother and daughter relationship. And then we talked about the 840,000 seconds that when you're with, you spend one day with your daughter, she has 840,000 seconds to take a picture of you, to make an image of you, and to receive a thought of you. So therefore, she can receive 840,000 thoughts of you. And you wonder about why you can't communicate? Can you imagine all those thoughts? And you're allowing them to build up and build up and build up. There's probably trillions of thoughts that are unanswered in the mind. But we won't get that deep this morning because that would take us on a whole different subject. We also talk about, you know, a teenager. You know, when you're a teenager and we're talking about the 840,000 seconds and we're talking about time and eternity, you know, as a teenager, your teenage daughter's not even going to think about that. All she's thinking is, I'm going to live forever. And then we talked about the daughter being 25 to 35, and that's when she started evaluating her life and her situation and what has she done and what has she hasn't been able to accomplish. And then she started evaluating down to the point, well, you know, if I haven't done this, then who? Why haven't I done it? And sometimes it narrows on down because my mother didn't do this. You know, my father didn't do this. It's a blame. You know, you got to blame somebody because if it wasn't for them, I could have accomplished this. They should have made me go to school. They should have made me stop me from getting married. They should have told me I should have done it. They were the parents. You know, it's just an innate thing to figure out why I'm not where I thought I should have been or thinking that I should be. And then you got that 35 to 50-year-old daughter. And when you think of daughters, people don't want to think about a 35 or 50-year-old daughter. You are a daughter. You're going to be a daughter to the day you die. No matter, you'll be an 80-year-old daughter. My grandmother's 96. She's a 96-year-old daughter. Even though she's a mother, she's a 96-year-old daughter. So she has her her mother and daughter stories as well. So then you get to 35 to 50, then now you're looking at really making the changes, and then you're looking at moving on with your life, and then you, before you know it, you got grandchildren. Then you got another person that you need to help go through this life channel and mold them and direct them, you know. And so that's kind of bringing us to our topic today. That brings us to the effects of pride in the mother and daughter relationship and how it can affect their developmental stages. Because, see, it all connects. It's like a continuing story, you know. So now let's look at pride. People, when people said something about pride, most people said, well, I'm not prideful. I'm not pride at all. I'm not prideful at all. I help people. Anything I can do for somebody, I do that for them. You know, I'm not prideful. I'm not prideful at all. But are they looking at pride from their perspective? Or are they looking at pride from God's perspective? See, that's a difference. We can create any definition to a word that we want to create. Because, you know, it's your thought. You have the will. You can do whatever you want to do. That's what God gave you the will. He says, here's your life. Create. And you go running off and you create. There are some things that God just despises. We'll talk about that as we go down. Now, pride is arrogance. It's conceit. It's smugness. It's self-importance. It's egotism. It's vanity. And it's superiority. That's pride. You know? Pride is an inward, directed emotion that exemplifies either a high sense of one's personal status or their ego, leading to judgment of others, personalities, and of their character. And there again, there may be a little glitch there. Someone says, you know, I don't judge other people. Well, yes, you do. We all do it. We may not intend to do it. That's why you got to stay conscious of what's coming out of your mouth, because judgment is not that you're sitting in the jail or the prison. It's your opinion. See, people say, you know, I'm not judging, but, oh, well, you just got into the judgment lane. I'm not judging, but what? I'm just going to tell you what I think about it. See, I'm not judging now. I'm not going to talk. I don't talk about people, but you know what they say? They said so-and-so and so. Okay. You just got into the talking about people lane. See, all of this come in with the effects of pride. And I'm going to tell you how pride works into it. It's smooth now. I want you to follow this because this is very smooth. It just kind of slither its way in like a snake. It comes in. You don't even recognize it. You say, I'm not judging anybody, but. Or, girl, I'm going to tell you. Don't tell nobody else. I was told this, and I was told not to tell anybody else. But I'm going to tell you. I just want to know what you think about this. She said, girl, you ain't got to worry about me. You know, I don't tell nobody anything. And then you tell her. And then she turns right around and says, girl, I could tell you about so-and-so because, you know, they said the same thing about her. Now, she just told you she don't tell anything about anybody else. Now, you think she's going to keep what you just told her? That's why if you tell one person something and it ends up to the 10th person, it's a whole different story. Because the mind wants to elevate the thought so that the thought will have a penetration and a stimulation to the mind in which we receive it. So therefore, you've got to add something to it to make it exciting. You just can't tell old drab stories. You got to put something in it. So you add a word or two, or you simply add your perception of it, which brings you right on the borderline and smack dab into pride. And pride is a self-promoted emotion that is a product of praise or independent self-reflections. In other words, it's all about you. It's all about you. Self-praise. You know, it's my way or the highway. We'll talk about that. Pride is that underlying secret that most people don't want to identify with. Because nobody wants to say they're prideful. I mean, why would you do that? I mean, why would you talk about yourself? To say you're prideful is to say something is wrong with you. You're not going to find most people that's going to say something's wrong with them. You know, everything is all right with me. So, yeah, surely I'm not prideful. I don't know what the problem is, but it's not me. They want to pretend that they are being humble. And in some case, they really think that they are, when it really is just pride. Now, how do you know when it's pride? You know, I know some of you thinking, well, how do you know when it's pride, Dr. Fletcher? Well, let's look at a couple of ways, and you're going to think of some as I tell you the ones that came to my mind this morning, but you'll think of some. The first sign is when you are not considering the other person. Now, let's look at a situation between you and your daughter. And whatever the situation is, or you and your mother, you cannot see the other side. The only thing that you can see is your point of view. And if you notice and you hear someone, when you're trying to explain to them a situation, they keep coming back to their point of view. They will never, ever accept the words that you're speaking because they don't hear it. They're always coming back. But you don't understand. But, well, why? That's prideful. Because it's all about you. You're not willing to listen and consider. You're not willing to hear. Pride is when you have the answers. You have the answers without listening to the questions. Have you ever been speaking to someone and then all of a sudden you're trying to say something and they give you an answer? They just cut you off, and they got the answer? That's a form of pride. We all can say probably we're guilty of that because we get excited, want to tell our part. We want to say what we're thinking at the time. And, you know, I have to be mindful of that because I like to talk. So this is a lesson for all of us. This is words from God. You know, it's not that I'm preaching to you. I'm just telling you what came in, and I'm learning. Like I tell you, it's good for me. It's better for me, and I hope it's good for you. Pride is when you're arrogant. When you're overbearing in your relationship. Pride is when your ego gets the better of you. You just say, they're not going to do this. And then once your ego gets into the conversation, it turns into a monster. It turns into something that didn't even exist. But your ego got to talking. Pride is when you won't listen to reasons. I don't want to hear it. Yes, but. And pride, like I said earlier, is my way or the highway. And in many cases, the mother and daughter, the mother or the daughter, will tell the other that's in a prideful state, then it's the highway. you take the highway. They don't want to put up with your prideful attitude any longer. Now your mother and daughter relationship is damaged. Pride will come into your relationship in a very deceitful way. You won't realize that it is deceit. Deceit doesn't come in colors, in a body form. It's not tangible. Deceit comes in a thought. It asks the question of why. Why is she doing this to me? Why does she think she can do this? Or who does she think she is? And you know, it's always the question to get you pumped up. See, deceit is your cheerleader. Deceit just says, yeah, you don't need to take that. Who do they think they are? See, then deceit turn right around and I answer the question for you. Deceit will get you to question it and turn right around and give you the answer. Now, this is the point where I want you to really get it. When you find yourself with thoughts in your mind that are not love, then you know it is deceitful thoughts. It's very simple. It's just that simple. You say, how do I know when I'm in pride? Ask yourself, is this a thought of love? Then you know it's deceitful. It's a deceitful thought. There are only two thoughts. Now, I know people think there are many thoughts. And that's how you say there's only two thoughts. I got thoughts going on in my head all day, every day. I can't even stop the thoughts that's coming through my head. You have different forms of thought, but there's only two thoughts. There's a good thought and there's a bad thought. And you're either working on one or the other. Now, that bad thought may generate a zillion bad thoughts because it can be impregnated with many thoughts. That good thought can generate a zillion thoughts because it can be impregnated with good thoughts. It just depends on what you choose to do. Remember, you have a choice. Now, that's not too hard to work with. You only got two things. Put one in your right hand and one in your left, and you look at it. Is this a good thought? Is this a bad thought? Just put it in front of your face and just look at it. Because good generates good. Bad generates bad. I had evil, but I changed it because I didn't want people to get caught up with evil. Oh, I'm not evil. I want to make it simple enough so that it won't pull, deceit won't have you questioning yourself. Because if I said evil, deceit's going to say, oh, she's trying to say you evil? Oh, that's like voodoo. Ooh. Deceit will come in and try to question you about it. So I said bad. It's a little lighter. It's a little softer on your thoughts and your consciousness. You can deal with that because that's a word that is bad, but not as bad as evil. When in reality, they're all the same. But, you know, it's how we are taught. So, pride and deceit are twins. They are twins in thought. They will make you believe that you are right when you are wrong. And I'm talking about dead wrong. The two of them together, they will work you. What they will do, pride is one thing. Deceit is the ammunition. Deceit will give you ammunition to defend yourself when people are saying that you're prideful. But they come together and they form a team. I call them P and D. You know, P&D. P&D, pride and deceitful. There are so many people in jail, so many people in the grave, so many people have been cast out of churches, out of groups, out of families, out of relationships, out of marriages because of pride and deceit. If you just could have had an honest conversation about it, you could kill pride and deceit. But see, deceit is your cheerleader. Deceit is there to tell you, no, she needs to come to me. No, I'm not going to do it. Why should you do it? They need to do it for you. See, that's deceit. Deceit, she's over there cheering you on. She's like, girl, don't even think about it. Don't even let them think that they hurt you. You just act like you don't even see them. You act like you don't know them. You just keep on going. Don't even get involved with that. Oh, that's deceit. She's got the pom-poms, the boots, and the little skirt on. And can you see her? She's just jumping up and down. Even got on, we have a young lady that does some things with us, and we call her Lily, and she has a Lily hat. And it's made out of this tinsel type things, you know. And I can just see her with that tinsel hat on, you know. So, you know, deceit is a cheerleader. She cheers pride on. And pride tried to act as if she's, you know, really humbling herself. But she listens to deceit. And they stick together because they are a team. Now, they come together in a body that holds a thought. And that thought comes in the form of he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And inside of those words, inside of that thought lies pride and deceit. It's a scary curse, I'm telling you. It is something else. You will not see it. It will attack you. Before you know it, you have gotten yourself caught up in a whirlwind of thoughts, and you don't even know how you got there. And then it brings on shame, because then, you know, deceit's going to come back and say, oh, now you're feeling shame. Well, just let it go. You know, after a while, it'll just go away. But see, that's not what God says. Well, thanks to God and to Jesus, there is a way out. There's a way to repair that damaged relationship between your mother and daughter. God has a word for you, and that word is humility. When you can humble yourself, and humility comes, even when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've got to get to a place of humbleness. And it's the same with everything that you do. When you come to repent, you can't repent for something in a deceitful and prideful manner. God knows your heart. So you've got to humble yourself. And you'll feel it in your heart and you'll say, Lord, I am so sorry I did that. Please forgive me. I repent. I know I did it, and I'm so, so sorry. He will feel the humility in your heart, and you'll be forgiven, and it will be forgotten as if it never happened. Well, that's the same humility that you need when you go to your daughter or to your mother. You have got to humble yourself, just as you would before God. Because remember, God is inside that person that you're approaching. You've got to humble yourself, and you've got to talk to pride and deceit, and you've got to cast them onto Jesus, and you've got to know, in order for me to get this right, I've got to humble myself. God loves the humble. He says the humble touches his heart. He is pleased with the humble. If you want to please God, then you humble yourself. He said, how can you love me and not love my children? And where mothers get confused, they don't think about their children being God's children. They think that they're just their children. So if you love God, you've got to love all of his children, which is your children. And you shouldn't treat your mother or daughter any different than you would any stranger that you meet, that you might humble yourself and ask for forgiveness. So in order to put a smile on God's face, humble yourself. Now, when you're talking about humility, humble, being humble, you're talking about unpretentious. And you know when your heart, when you're pretending, you know when you're not being who you're supposed to be. You know, sometimes people want to be several different people in one hour. I'll take it to an hour. You can do it in a minute. They just don't know who they want to be. If you just find out who you are and be that person and work on that person, humility will come, because humility comes with love. You cannot have humility without love. And that goes back to that good and evil, of good and bad. You got humility and love. They're on the side of good. And you got pride and deceit. They're on the side of bad. You make the choice. And everything that you do, if you can humble yourself in the spirit, as if you were actually speaking to God, when you speak to this person, you will have an honest conversation without even trying. It would come out of your heart. It would come out of love. It would just be. So stop pretending in your thoughts. Be gentle in your thoughts. Humbleness is to be gentle. When you are down to earth, as most people say, just a down to earth person, meaning you're thinking of love. The earth is of love, is made from love. A lot of things have gone wrong, and we won't get into that, but the thought was love that created the earth. So if you have earth, you have love thoughts. In other words, put others before you. Okay. I'm thinking here that we're having a problem. I just got a call in. I don't know if the signal went off, and to God be the glory. To God be the glory. I am not going to stop talking. I'm not going to stop reading and talking about this. I'm going to keep going. Hopefully, I think we went off the air. I don't know where we stopped, but I will keep going. You know, this is a topic that I guess the evil one don't want us to continue. I'm hoping that you didn't miss what I said about being humble. Being humble is unpretentious. It's humbling yourself, being meek, and being unassuming in nature. You know, don't let people assume what you're going to say and what you're going to do because they know you so well. Be unassuming, because out of love, love is so broad that no one should be able to assume what you're going to say or how you're going to react to a situation. Now, God has said that in Proverbs 16:18, that pride goes before destruction. And a naughty spirit before a fall. And you can believe that. Pride goes before destruction. anything that is failure in your life, you go back and you revisit it, and you will see that pride led you there. Deceit cheered you on. And as God said, his word is true. His word will not fail. So if you have pride in any area of your life, you're going to fall failure. You're going to fall into an area of failure. So only you know in your heart if you're letting pride and deceit hold your thoughts. You're the only person that knows that in God. So you're the only person that can examine that. But I guarantee you, if you feel a nudge at your heart today, if you feel a nudge that maybe I should have done this a little differently, then that's God speaking to you. Don't let deceit cheer you on. Don't let deceit steal the thought from your heart. Don't let this seed be taken away. This is a seed that is being planted in your thoughts. And if it's taken away, you will not get the fruit from the harvest. So pride and deceit is a silent killer, one you won't see coming until it's too late. So I hope that this has been a blessing to you. It has certainly been a blessing to me. I will be mindful, and I will be looking for the cheerleader because I don't need to be cheered on. And that way I just stay in the word, and the word, humility, will fight and defeat pride and deceit. Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to open up the lines. Whew, pride and deceit. Would anyone like to talk to me this morning about pride and deceit? Is here. Good morning, 954.
Good morning.
How are you?
Lily is on the phone. How are you?
Fine. How are you doing?
Good stuff. I am absolutely incredible. All I can say is you are right on point when it comes to those thoughts, loving thoughts versus those deceitful thoughts. And it is in that where there's superiority, vanity, egotism, and arrogance comes in. And like you said, it's very smooth and it's very subtle. And it makes you think. You have the right motives, but the wrong attitude towards others when they hurt you. You also said that we like to blame, we want to blame, but we certainly don't have to blame. We choose, that's, in my opinion, that's the easy way out.
Mm-hmm.
In that way, you don't have to look at yourself and your own thoughts, because we're constantly blaming what has happened or what has not happened on the other person. In this case, mothers and mothers towards daughters and daughters towards mothers. We all have hurt, sin, whatever you want to call it, other people. And we want our children to forgive us, but we're not willing to forgive our mothers.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's, you know. You don't see, you got that cheerleader going on there, and she's trying to cheer you on and let you know, hey, it's all about you. It's about,
it's
you know, they
about...
should come over on your side.
Yeah.
They should
come
over here where you are in your thought, because you're right. And before long, you'll start believing that.
Yeah. And we always want the other person to come to you. Why can't you go to them?
Right. You know, that's because that would take humility. And people don't want to get into humility. They don't want to please God. But they know if they go in humility, they will please God, you know?
Yeah, and that's that false sense of I'm righting you wrong.
Right,
we always want to be right. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. But great stuff. Man, let me tell you something. This is some great stuff. And I love what you said, that pride and deceit are silent killers.
Mm-hmm.
Because, in my opinion, it kills so many relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a heart issue. And heart issues, as you know, it's the hardest thing to penetrate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Love you much.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay.
Love you too.
Mm-hmm.
This is the most, I'm coming to you, callers. This is the most important part of that whole thing. And it's a lesson to all of us because it's not easy to get in humility. I mean, people, you know, we were raised that, you know, I don't want to stoop. I don't want people to think, you know, that, you know, I'm not doing this. It's not easy. You know, sometimes even with my own daughter, I have to, like yesterday, she was just telling me, well, Mama, you're not listening. Mama, you're not listening. And I said, okay. I had to stop. Hey, we're not perfect, and it's okay, and it's hard, especially when your daughter's talking to you, and you feeling that, you know, well, I'm the mama, so see, the seat want to cheer you on. You're the mother. So it's your way. She has to do it your way. Yes, I'm the mother, but she's a child of God. And I have to treat her with the same love and respect that I would anyone else because the love of God is to love her. And I'm not talking about a mother-daughter love. I'm talking about a love of a sister in Christ. That's different. So, good morning, 347. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Bessie.
Good morning. I don't know why it's cutting off here. Let me see. Let's try this again. Not wanting to connect. There you go. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
All right. This is a powerful message. I tell you, try to cut me off left and right. Try to get me out on this morning. Whenever God's got this message to come through, you know, it seems like that bad side wants to operate. I mean, just would not let me get on, you know, just cut me off. I mean, so, but we get through anyway. I'm not being cheered on by the seat. Go ahead. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. I'm just listening to the topic that you have this Saturday. You always have an excellent topic, but this topic
thank
today
God.
Is hello?
Yes, I just said thank God.
Yes, and this topic today is just excellent. The pride, I mean, when you broke it down, what pride really is, arrogance, judgment of others, not listening, I mean, talking and giving an answer before you even hear the question, and that is, you know, that is just awesome. People really need to take the time to listen sometime, and daughters, to just listen to their mother, and mothers should listen to their daughter sometimes. Just take the time just to listen. And like you say, put yourself in that person's place. A lot of time people be like, but why? Like you say, they don't even try to, like, say, okay, I'm going to see. I'm going to put me in my daughter's place and see if my daughter comes to me or if the mother goes to the child, for instance. You know, and that is just so important, and it's also important for mothers and daughters to have a prayer life, you know, to be a Christian, read the Bible, and know God created you, know God have a purpose and a plan for your life, and know God wants to use you, and the only way a person is really going to understand God's will for their life is to read God's word. God's word is so important. If mothers and daughters could just start there with just reading the Bible and see what God plans for you, that would be so awesome. That would be so awesome. And today, this lesson is just, you know, I was like, wow. And when you talk about good and you talk about bad, you said you was going to say something else, but you didn't envy or something like that, but you said you used bad. So, when we use good, we could just think of God. You know, God is good.
Mm-hmm.
God is good. When you think of bad, you could just say Satan. You know, just have in your
mm-hmm.
mind, maybe this is something Satan would do. I don't want to do this. I don't want to have this relationship. I don't want to have a bad relationship with my daughter because Satan would bring different things into your life to jealousy, envy, you know, and discouragement. God won't do that. God brings good things into your life. He put people into your life so you can have a life abundantly, John 10:10 says. God desires you to experience all good things in your life. So I think one of the most important things for mothers and daughters, if you want to know God's will for your life and you want to do good things, is to read the Word of God.
Thank you. That is so true. Because you know what, and that's good in every relationship. I know a lot of mothers out there have sons, and I know a lot of people out in relationships and friendships and marriages and, you know, just coworkers that you're dealing with. See, when we talk about mother and daughter relationship, we talk about principles that can be used in every relationship. See, I'm charged by God to speak on mother and daughter. But the Word of God is, it will fit into every situation. Now, I'll tell you this morning that, thank you very much for that comment. I appreciate it. You did some good teaching there. Thank you. This morning when I got up, and you know, like I tell you on Saturday mornings that I get up, I try on Friday nights. I'll try testing in spirit, and I'll say, well, you know, Holy Spirit, what do we need to talk about tomorrow? And not unless than I have something to do on Saturday morning, a mother-daughter event, I don't get that message to Saturday morning. While I'm there waiting and talking and, okay, Lord, Holy Spirit, what's going on? Okay, all right. I get up and couldn't get anything. And deceit just kept saying to me, well, you're fixed today. You don't have a topic for today. Yeah. Now, you always get up on Saturday morning, depending on the Holy Spirit, to give you a topic. I knew this day was going to come. I knew you was going to wake up and you wasn't going to have anything worthy to talk about. And the people on the line, they just going to be laughing at you. They're going to say, well, what happened today? Why didn't Dr. Fletcher have something to say today? And for a second there, I had to just wrestle with that thought. I said, you are a liar. The Holy Spirit always comes through. And the Holy Spirit always have a conversation, always have a thought for me. And I will wait on that thought. And so I said, well, I'm going to do all the due diligence that I have to do and prepare, you know, my script and everything else. And by the time I get all these little pieces done, I know the Holy Spirit is going to give me the topic for today. And as I was going through, I'm still being beaten up, pride and deceit there on the side, trying to act like they're my helpers, trying to act like they're trying to support me in this effort and wanted me to doubt. And I said, I will not doubt. I will not doubt. The Holy Spirit will come in. And how I got pride and deceit, I said, let me tell you this. I can talk. I have a gift. God gave me a gift to talk. And the knowledge and the Word of God is inside of me. It is inside of my head. And if I don't write one word on a piece of paper, it's in my head. And most people that know me know I can talk all day. So there, it lifted, went away, and it was like the Holy Spirit say, proud of you. And I shouldn't use the word proud because that's not what he would say. He was happy that I didn't go into doubt and that I just stood the ground and waited. And just as that happened, is you ready to write? Yep. And the topic came, and the words came, and you're experiencing the subject. So, for a moment there, I had to struggle. So it is. It's a silent killer. It, pride and deceit knew that the Holy Spirit was going to tell me, to tell you, to warn you of the evilness and the deceitfulness and the sneakiness of its actions. How it will deceive you. How it will make you think, well, this topic is not about me today. It will talk to you. It's not about me, because that's not who I am. But the Holy Spirit just told me to tell you. If that came to your mind, then it's about you. It's about you. You need to deal with it. You need to look at it. You need to get in the Word, and you need to figure out how you're going to deal with it. Because if it tugs on your heart, you can't fool God. He knows your heart. Then you need to deal with it. I'm certainly going to deal with it. It tugs on my heart, and I will not. Pride and deceit displease God, and humility makes him happy. Then, hey, I want to make him happy. So I'm saying to mothers and daughters out there, just examine your thoughts, make a choice, and decide. If you've chosen Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are now a part of the kingdom family. You've made that choice. How can you be in the kingdom family and allowing deceit and pride, something evil, to follow you inside the kingdom? You have the power to stop it. Why bring it in? God is looking for you to bring in only the good. Only the good. So don't let pride and deceit sneak in on your coattail, riding in, covering you as if they're covering you in love. Know the difference. Have a blessed weekend. God loves you. Bye-bye.